Good evening. Welcome to episode 90-something. It's come to my attention that some of you listening to this right now are actually laying in bed, and you have expressed to me that you enjoy the sound of my voice while you're going to sleep. Which is just a very polite way to say that I'm very boring and that I very much a conduit to deep sleep. Well, thank you. I'm glad that these ramblings, these recordings, can bring some sort of use to some people out there. Because you gotta give back to the community, you know? You can't just be totally self-centered and narcissistic and speaking into a void. You gotta give back to the people. Sipping on a nice scotch. What is this called? Glen something. Glen Rothers? Yeah. Glen Roths. Speyside single malt scotch whiskey. It's not bad. It's not bad. So for those of you who are listening to this while you're laying in bed, let me... Hopefully I just edited out that clearing of my throat, because that's not good for sleep. Who am I kidding? That's not going to be edited out. So for those of you who are laying in bed listening, let me give you a little treat. This week is for you. Here's a little bedtime story for you. The Very Hungry Caterpillar by Eric Carle. In the light of the moon, a little egg lay on a leaf. One Sunday morning, the warm sun came up, and pop, out of the egg came a tiny, hungry caterpillar. He started to look for some food. On Monday, he ate through one apple, but he was still hungry. He started to look for some food. On Tuesday, he ate through two pears, but he was still hungry. He started to look for some food. On Wednesday, he ate through three plums, but he was still hungry. He started to look for some food. On Thursday, he ate through four strawberries, but he was still hungry. He started to look for some food. On Friday, he ate through five oranges, but he was still hungry. He started to look for some food. On Saturday, he ate through one piece of chocolate cake, one ice cream cone, one pickle, one slice of Swiss cheese, and one slice of salami, one lollipop, one piece of cherry pie, one sausage, one cupcake, and one slice of watermelon. That night, he had a stomach ache. The next day was Sunday. The caterpillar ate through one nice green leaf. After that, he felt much better. Now he wasn't hungry anymore. And he wasn't a little caterpillar anymore. He was a big, fat caterpillar. He built a small house called a cocoon. He stayed inside for more than 2 weeks. Then he nimbled a hole in the cocoon and pushed his way out. then he was a beautiful butterfly. In a dark, dark wood, there was a dark, dark house. And in that dark, dark house, there was a dark, dark room. And in that dark, dark room, there was a dark, dark chest. And in that dark, dark chest, there was a dark, dark shelf. And in that dark, dark shelf, there was a dark, dark box. And in that dark, dark box, there was a dark, dark ghost. I screwed that up. Let me do that again. And on that dark, dark shelf, there was a dark, dark box. And in that dark, dark box, there was a ghost. That wasn't good. That wasn't good at all. That's not a good bedtime story for making people try to go to sleep. Have you seen the ghost of John? Long white bones and the flesh all gone? Oh, wouldn't it be chilly with no skin on? I think that was the whole story. That was the whole story. Mitai Doty Walker. From Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark by Alvin Schwartz from 1981. The year I was born. There was a haunted house where every night a bloody head fell down the chimney. At least that's what people said. Nobody would stay there overnight. Then a rich man offered $200, whoever would do it. And this boy said he would try it if he could have his dog with him. So it was all settled. The very next night, the boy went to the house with his dog. To make it more cheerful, he started a fire in the fireplace and then sat in front of the fireplace and waited for his dog and waited with him. For a while, nothing happened, but a little after midnight, he heard someone singing softly and sadly off in the woods. The singing sounded something like this, "Mitai Doty Walker." Just somebody singing, that's what the boy says. But he wasn't frightened. Then his dog answered the song, softly and sadly, and sang, "Litchy kinchy coly moly dingo dango." The boy could not believe his ears. His dog had never uttered a word before. Then a few minutes later, he heard the singing again. Now it was closer and louder, but the words were the same. "Mitai Doty Walker." This time the boy tried to stop his dog from answering. He was afraid that whoever was singing would hear it and come after them. But his dog paid no attention and again sang, "Litchy geechy coly moly dingo dingo." Half hour later, the boy heard singing again. Now it was back in the backyard, and the song was the same, "Mitai Doty Walker." Again, the boy tried to keep his dog quiet, but the dog sang louder, "Linchy kinchy mole dingo dango." Soon the boy heard the singing again. Now it was coming down the chimney. "Mitai Doty Walker." The dog sang right back, "Linchy kinchy coly moly dingo dango." Suddenly a bloody head fell out of the chimney. It missed the fire and landed right next to the dog. The dog took one look and fell over, dead from fright. The head turned and stared at the boy. Slowly, it opened its mouth and screamed. It's not a very nice story. I think all these stories have the same punchline of screaming at someone in their face, but that's not a really good thing to do when you're trying to make people go to sleep. The images in this book are quite disturbing. How about I give you another one? How about I give you another one? We'll go to the very last story in this collection of stories, this book, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. This one's called The Ghost with the Bloody Fingers. A businessman arrived at a hotel late one night and asked for a room. The room clerk told him the hotel was all filled up. There was only one empty room, he said. But we don't want anyone in that room because it's haunted. I'll take it, said the businessman. I don't believe in ghosts. The man went up to the room. He unpacked his things. He went to bed. As soon as he did, a ghost came out of the closet. Its fingers were bleeding. And it was moaning. Bloody fingers, bloody fingers, it said. When the man saw the ghost, he grabbed all of his things and ran. The next night, a woman arrived very late. Again, all the rooms were taken except for the haunted room. I'll sleep there, she said. I'm not afraid of ghosts. As soon as she got into bed, the ghost came out of the closet. Its fingers were still bleeding. Was still moaning. Bloody fingers, it said. And the woman took one look and ran. A week later, another guest. Same thing. Give me that haunted room, he said. After he unpacked, he got out his guitar and he began to play. Soon the ghost appeared. As before, its fingers bleeding and moaning. Bloody fingers. The man paid no attention. He just kept strumming. But the ghost kept moaning, and its fingers kept bleeding. Finally, the guitar player looked up. Cool it, man. Get yourself a Band-Aid. Also, I don't think ghosts have the capacity to bleed. What sort of container would house this blood? Unless the ghost was wearing gloves, and then the blood was inside the gloves. It's the only way. It's the only way. Here's a word from our sponsor. Shh. If you need to go to sleep, then just go to bed already, because when you wake up, you should go and use the go on the internet and buy yourself some books. I don't care what kind of books. You can even go to the library and get them for free. You just gotta get a card, and then they'll say, hey, when you're done with this book, just give it back. Do they think no one's gonna steal books? It's the honor system. The last honest bastion of humanity is the library. Still trusting in all of humanity. That's probably where we all went wrong. When we stopped paying attention to the library and that being a place to go hang out. I remember we used to go to the library. We used to get movies. We used to get CDs as well. but we would take it back on time because we were afraid of what the consequences were, might be, because we didn't know what the consequences were. Was it going to be a fine? I remember if you went to the video game rental place and you'd rent a video game for the weekend, if you didn't return that video game by Monday, you're going to have to pay a lot more money. Same with the movies. But they wouldn't ding you if you didn't rewind your VHS cassette. They just wanted you to, like, you know, be a genuine human being, because someone else is going to rent that VHS cassette, and they don't want to plug it into their machine and see the ending. Nobody trusts anybody anymore. It's all subscriptions. It's no longer rentals. Because no one's going to return it, and if they do, it's going to be mighty beat up. Well, you can rent a car. You can go on the street, pick up one of them Evo cars, and just drop it wherever you want. But they track you now because you got this phone that is a GPS-signed beacon, and your whereabouts are always known. But the library, they didn't know where those books were. Heck, you could have been on the toilet. Nobody wants to take someone's toilet book. But you didn't know when you got those books out. You didn't know if that was on the toilet. And now back to your regularly scheduled, whatever the rest of this program is. If you're not asleep already, buckle up. One day, Andrew's mother and father were talking to him to see if his grandma and grandpa, before they put him in the car seat. And his mother said, "Andrew, do you have to go pee?" Andrew said, "Nope. No." His father said slowly and clearly, "Andrew, do you have to pee?" "Nope," Andrew said. Decided I'm not peeing again. So they put Andrew in the car, fastened his seatbelt, and gave him lots of books, lots of toys, lots of crayons, and drove him down the road. Vroom. They'd been driving just for a minute, and Andrew yelled, I gotta pee." "Yikes," father said. "Oh no," his mother said. Then the father said, "Now Andrew, wait. It's 5 minutes. 5 minutes we'll come to a gas station and you can go pee there." Andrew said, "Nah, I gotta go." So the mother stopped the car. Andrew jumped out of the car and peed behind a bush. When they got to Grandma's house, Grandpa's house, Andrew wanted to go and play. It was snowing and he needed a snowsuit. So before they put on a snowsuit, the mom and dad and Grandma and Grandpa were like, "Andrew, do you gotta go pee?" Andrew said, "Nope. No, I'm good." So they put on Andrew's snowsuit and zipped him up. And took him a damn near a half hour to get him in that snowsuit. So Andrew walked out and after that half hour and threw one snowball and said, I gotta go pee. So the dad and the mom and the grandma and the grandpa ran outside and got Andrew, picked him up and stripped him of that snowsuit, wrote right quick and ran him up to the potty. Wait a second, this book doesn't describe what happened in the potty. Did he pee? There's a scene missing. Cause now, here's where we are. We're at the dinner table. After something had happened. Was there something inappropriate that happened in the bathroom that they're not telling us? Anyway, we're down at the dinner table. So when Andrew came back down, they had a nice long dinner. Then it was time for Andrew to go to bed. But before they put Andrew to bed, mother and father and grandma and grandpa said to Andrew, do you gotta pee? Andrew said, nope. So his mother gave him a kiss, and his father gave him a kiss, and the grandma gave him a kiss, and the grandpa gave him a kiss. Just wait, said the mother. He's gonna yell, he's gotta go pee. Oh, said the father. Does he have to do it every... Does he have to do that every night? The grandmother said, I never had these problems with you kids. They waited 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. The father said, I think he's done. Mother said, yeah, I think he's good. Grandmother said, yeah, he's definitely good. Then Andrew said, I went my bed. So the mother and the father and the grandma and the grandpa all changed Andrew's bed. Andrew's pajamas, and the mother gave him a kiss, and the father gave him a kiss, and the mother gave him a kiss, and the grandpa gave him a kiss, and they all went downstairs. They waited 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. And then upstairs, Andrew yelled, Grandpa, do you have to pee? And grandpa said, yeah, I do. And Andrew said, well, so do I. So they went to the bathroom and peed in the same toilet. And Andrew never went to bed again. What is this book saying? Robert Munsch ends a book with the moral of the story being, if you want to stop peeing the bed, look at your grandfather's penis peeing and pee with him. I don't like what this book is implying here. I don't think there's any like scientific research behind solving childhood trauma by looking at an elderly man's penis. Well, hopefully you're asleep by now. Give you any nightmares, whatever. Okay, now that I have you asleep, it's time to give you my hypnotic suggestions. You're thinking about
how much you really enjoy listening to these recordings. You think they're the best thing? Heck, you might even want to go back and start listening from the beginning again, even if you've heard them all. You really, really like the show. And you really, really like me for that matter. Even though I don't need your approval. But what you do want, the thing that will make you the most happiest, is to buy records. Buy records from D and Z on Discogs. That's gonna make you so happy. The more you buy, the more happiness you'll have. If you want to take it a step further, which you do, if you want to achieve ultimate enlightenment, you're gonna want to donate. You're gonna want to donate to make this show better. Because making this show better is going to help the planet. It's going to help climate change. It's going to help war. It's going to help kids. Kids who don't have enough to eat. The guy who cut you off yesterday. It's not going to matter because you're going to feel great that you donated your hard-earned dollars to I Practice Talking Good. You can make your donation via e-transfer to kinth@hotmail.com. Foreign currencies are accepted and welcomed. When you wake, you're going to go out and tell all your friends to donate. Because this cause is going to change everything for one little boy. One little 41-year-old boy who seemingly has no idea how to handle finances. And each month it's a little bit of extra stress. So by giving, not only are you helping this little boy, you are also helping yourself. By alleviating this little bit of stress, you will be enhancing your entertainment experience through these recordings. I will leave you with one more suggestion, and that is to alleviate the stress in your life, to alleviate any of the anger and the problems, you will listen to this each night before bed. This will become your melatonin. This will become part of your bedtime routine. You will have your listening device at your bedside at a very minimal level, and you'll curl up in your warm blankets and close your eyes and just listen. This has been I Practice Talking Good Presents Bedtime Stories, Episode 1. Good night.